I'm going to ask you again to open your Bible to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 17. Revelation, chapter number 17. And once again, at this time, I want to read verses 1 through 7 of this particular chapter. Revelation, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. That's reading verses 1 through 7 of Revelation chapter 17. Once again, I'd like to have each head bowed and each eye closed, please. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now I'm going to ask Brother Donald Parrish if he'll lead us to the throne of grace. Amen. At this time, we want to teach the next part of the series entitled The False World Church. In the weeks prior, we have stated that here, set before us in Revelation chapter 17, is the false world church that will be a reality and be in full power for the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. Here in this chapter is set before us the false world church headed up under Rome. Or in other words, Rome is in the driver's seat. Or Rome is at the helm, so to speak. Now someone may say, Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She's called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is really just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. Now in the weeks prior, we have already went back and dealt with the beginning of Babylon, as is recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. We've also traced Babylonianism through the Scriptures. Till we come back here to this particular chapter, that being chapter number 17. And in the week's time, we've also begin dealing with these particular verses. When we begin dealing with this chapter, we stated that this chapter can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, the system is exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then third, in verses 16 through 18, the system is extinguished. Not only that, but I directed your attention to verse number 1 as well. And you'll notice in this verse that the word judgment is used. And we dealt concerning that matter. Here is the key verse of this particular chapter. And we find that this verse tells us the theme or the subject of this chapter. The theme or the subject of this chapter is the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Or in other words, the judgment of this religious harlot, this false world church. Now in the weeks prior, we've already dealt with verses 1 through 4, and with the most part of verse number 5. For when we closed last week, we were dealing with the term, the mother of harlots, mentioned in verse number 5. Let's read this verse once again. Here the word of God says, and upon her forehead was a name written. Remember that this one here has a whore's forehead. And we dealt concerning that matter. We dealt concerning that matter a few weeks ago. Further here in verse 5, the word of God says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. This is one of the diabolical mysteries mentioned in the New Testament. And here the word of God says, Mystery Babylon the Great. I stated that when we see that word Babylon here in verse number 5, we know that this is a great system of religious error and confusion. So the word Babylon means confusion. Confusion. Father, here in verse number 5, the word of God says that upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the murderer of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now when we closed last week, we were dealing with this term, the murderer of harlots. Now I'm going to say some things in review that I said last week concerning this, because I think that they need to be said. And this is something right here that we living in this day need to understand. Right. And you don't hear too much about it. Yeah. Here in this verse we find the term the mother of harlots. John tells us here in this verse that this one has some offspring. Right. She has some offspring. Now, this term causes our minds to go back to Genesis chapter 10 and 11. Genesis chapter 10 and 11, as I stated earlier this evening, records for us the beginning of Babylon. And this is where Babylonianism had its beginning. And it was from Babylon that Babylonianism, this false religious system, spread throughout the earth. It was from Babylon that this religious system spread throughout the earth. And John is telling us here that she is the pilot and source of each religious system that courts the world. That's what John is telling us here in verse number 5. But now listen as well. My friend, Romanism is just another form of Babylonianism. And as we look around us today, there are religious groups, religious organizations and denominations that have their home base and seat in Rome. As we look around us today, there are religious groups and organizations and denominations that came out of the Roman Catholic Church. That came out of the Roman Catholic Church. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, go back to the time that is referred to and to the event that is referred to by me as the Reformation. Mm-hmm. And it was during that time that many came out of the Roman Catholic Church. They came out of the Roman Catholic Church and they protested against the Roman Catholic Church. And because of their protesting, they came to be known as Protestants.
Right.
As Protestants. And my friend, I believe the Word of God here is telling us, that those religious systems and organizations
that came out of the Roman Catholic Church is going to go right back to the one they came out of.
Amen.
And they're going to help to make up this religious harlot spoken of here in this particular chapter.
Amen.
I believe that's what the Word of God, I believe in these harlots here includes those that at one time came out of the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And my friend, as I say it last week, and we look around us today, there are Protestants today that are making tracks right back to the Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
Just as hard as they can go.
Right.
Here the Word of God refers to her children as harlots. The mother of harlots. Her offsprings are harlots. And the Word of God says that she is a religious harlot. So her children are just like she is. Her children are just like she is. Ezekiel 16:44 says, as is the mother, so is her daughters. Or so is her daughter, excuse me. And my friend, today as we look around us, let me put it this way. You can go into Protestant churches today. There's Protestant churches that you could go into and sit down and be there during the meeting. And if you didn't know better, you'd think you were in a Roman Catholic church.
That's right.
It's not unusual today to hear about Roman Catholic people being in Protestant pulpits.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an unusual thing to read about today. That's not an unusual thing to hear about today. And we find that the Protestants are moving closer and closer and closer every day to the one they came out of.
Right. Amen. Right.
Now, let me say this again. I said it last week, but I'll say it again. Baptists are not Protestants.
Right.
Baptists are not Protestants. Baptists have never been in the Roman Catholic Church to come out of her. They wasn't in her to start with.
Right.
Baptists was not in the Roman Catholic Church in the first place. Therefore, Baptists are not Protestants. But listen. Just because you're a Baptist does not mean that you're on your way to heaven. Just because you are a Baptist does not mean that you will not become one that helps to make up this religious harlot here.
Right. Amen.
Just because you're a Baptist, that doesn't mean that you won't be a part of this. And as I said last week, salvation will keep you out of this mess that's spoken of here as the religious harlot or the false world church. Salvation will keep you out of this false world church mentioned here in this passage of Scripture. I was thinking about this the other day, and you know, we have a lot of cars on the road today, and a lot of cars, and they have different names. They have different titles. They have different body styles and body shapes. But you know, when you get to examining a lot of these automobiles and cars, you find that many of them have the same engine under the hood. That's right. Now listen, you take this crowd today that denies the fundamentals. You take this crowd today that denies the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. They deny the deity of Christ. They deny the virgin birth. They deny the shed blood of Christ. They deny the bodily resurrection of Christ. They deny the second coming of Christ. They're all in the same spiritual condition. They may go by different name. They may go by different title. They may have different body shapes. Some's fat and some skinny and some's big and some's little. But you can mark it down. They all got the same engine under the hood. Or in other words, they all have the same wicked, sinful heart.
Right.
Yes, sir. That's so.
Right.
That's so. Now, let's notice further here in Revelation chapter 17. Now let's look at verse number 6. Here in verse number 6, the Word of God says this: "And I saw the woman grudging with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the markers of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Now, I want to direct your attention at this time to the saints that is mentioned here, in verse number 6. Here John speaks about the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, let me say this. I'll say it again later, if the Lord allows. Verse number 6 here is primarily having reference to those saints that will die, and be killed during the tribulation period. Verse number 6 here is primarily having reference to those saints that will die a martyr during the tribulation period. Now, I'll deal with that later. Right here, I want to say this. Right here, we find saints are going to be on this earth during Daniel's 70th week. Here we find that John talks about faith that is going to be on this earth during the tribulation period. And John tells us and talks about the blood of those saints. They're going to die a martyr's death. They're going to steal their testimony with their blood. But the thing I want to point out is this. Here we find saints on this earth during the tribulation period. Now listen. You have to believe there is going to be people saved after the rapture, or either believe that the church is going to enter and be here on this earth during the tribulation period. You have to believe one of those two things. You have to believe that folks are going to be saved after the rapture, or you have to believe that the church is going to enter the tribulation period and be here on this earth during the tribulation period. You have to believe one of those two things, because here we find faith on this earth during the tribulation period. Now you say, "Preacher, what does the Word of God say?" My friend, over and over and over again, the Word of God declares that the Lord is going to take the church out of this world before the tribulation period begins.
Yes. Amen.
The rapture is signless and timeless.
Right.
It's an imminent event. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That means any moment.
Right.
My friend, the Word of God declares that the Lord is going to take His own out of this world before the tribulation period begins. The church is not going to enter or go through any part of the tribulation period. Therefore, since we find saints on this earth during the tribulation period, therefore we must believe that people are going to be saved. That people are going to get saved after the rapture of the church. Now, some people have a problem with that. They say, preacher, if the Holy Spirit of God is going to be taken out of this world with the church at the time of the rapture, they say, "Preacher, then how are people going to get saved?" They say, "Preacher, don't you know that no one is saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God?" They say, "Preacher, if the Holy Spirit of God is taken out of this world at the time of the rapture along with the church," they say, "Preacher, How's people going to be saved then? In answering this, and we might be chasing a rabbit just a little bit, but I don't believe you care as long as there's a little meat on the bones. I want you to turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter number 2. Now, I want to help you here. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. And while you're turning there, let me say this. I believe what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6 and verse number 44. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You say, preacher, what was he saying? My friend, the Father draws by the Spirit of God. No one takes possession of salvation apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. No one is saved apart from the working of the Spirit of God. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts the sinner.
Right.
It is the Holy Spirit that draws that sinner to Christ. Mm-hmm. It is the Holy Spirit that forms that individual into the family of God.
Yes.
No one is saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Father planned it. The Son provided it. And the Holy Spirit makes it one's own personal possession.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit of God. So I believe that. I believe that no one is saved apart from the working of the Spirit of God. So you say, preacher, if the Holy Spirit is taken out of this world at the time of the rapture, along with the church, then how are people going to be saved? Let's look here at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul here in this passage deals concerning this matter. Here in verse number 3, the Word of God says, let no man deceive you by evenings, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That man of sin, in verse number 3, the son of perdition, in verse number 3, is having reference to the Antichrist, who will be revealed following the rapture of the church. Here in verse 4, Paul says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now notice verse number 6. Look at it carefully. And now ye know what withholdeth that he, that is the Antichrist, that man of sin, the son of perdition. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Paul tells us in verse number 6, he uses that expression, in his time. Paul tells us here that God has appointed a time for him to be revealed.
Right.
God has appointed a time for the Antichrist to be revealed. And that word time there in verse number 6 has reference to the word season. Season. And you know, when I think about that word season, I think about the word ripe. And this age is quickly ripening.
Yeah. Amen.
For the revealing of that man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. Look at verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Look at that word, withholdeth. And now ye know what withholdeth. That word withholdeth means to hold back. It means to hold back. Paul here in verse number 6 is telling us, he's telling us that there is a power that is holding back. There is a power that is holding down the operation of the devil. There is a power that is holding back. He's holding back the Antichrist from being revealed.
Right.
Look at verse number 7. Paul says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. When Paul penned these words, when God used Paul to pen these words that we're reading tonight here in verse number 7, Paul says that the forces of evil had already drawn together at that time with this end in view. With his end in view. That is, to put Satan's man on the throne of this world. But notice in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth let. Now the word letteth there in verse number 7 means hindereth. It means hindereth. The word let in verse number 7 means hinder. Until he be taken out of the way. Verse 7 says, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Paul here in verses 6 and 7 tells us that there is a power, that there is a letter, there is a restrainer, there is a hinderer that is hindering the Antichrist from being revealed. That's what he's saying here. Now, who is this restrainer? Who is this restrainer? There's been much speculation concerning this matter. But as I've said many, many times before from this pulpit, speculation is not needed. We have a perfect, complete, divine revelation from God.
Right.
Some has went so far as to say that the restrainer here that's mentioned in this passage of Scripture is Satan himself. But listen, my friend, Satan cannot be said to restrain Satan. Satan will not restrain Satan. No. No, he's not the restrainer mentioned here. In making it very clear who this restrainer is here, I want real quickly to give you three requirements of this restrainer. Three requirements. Number one, this restrainer here is restraining the work of the devil. Now listen. The devil is a personality. But he can operate in the spiritual realm. Therefore, this restrainer here, restraining the work of the devil. This restrainer here must be a person who is also able to operate in the spiritual realm.
Right.
Not only that, notice another requirement. This restrainer here must be someone who isn't limited to time. Who isn't limited to time. Paul here tells us that when God used him to pen these words, that this restrainer was restraining the Antichrist from being revealed at that time.
Right.
And my friend, in this day that you and I are living, that same restrainer is still restraining.
Right. Hey.
So this restrainer must be someone who is not limited to time.
Amen.
Not only that, but let me say this. This restrainer here must be stronger than the devil. This restrainer here must be stronger than Satan. Because this restrainer is restraining Satan. He is restraining the devil. And my friend, listen. The devil is the most powerful creature in the universe. And I did use the word creature. I said the devil is the most powerful creature in the universe. So my friend, if this one must be stronger than Satan, Satan is powerful, but God is more powerful. Satan is mighty, but God is almighty.
Yeah.
Therefore, this restrainer here must be one of the members of the Godhead. All through the Bible, it's God the Holy Spirit that is set forth as the restrainer of sin. That is seen all through the Scriptures.
Right.
Beginning with the book of Genesis, right on through. It always sets forth the Spirit of God as the restrainer of sin. And I think God, the Holy Spirit, is the restrainer mentioned here in this passage of Scripture.
Right.
Certainly that's so. He is the restrainer here mentioned in this passage of Scripture. Now notice your Bible in verse number 7. The Word of God says, "For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." You'll notice here in verse number 6 that the word "what" is used. It says, "And now ye know what," not who, but "what withholdeth." Then in verse 7, the word "he" is used, referring to a person. Referring to a person. Now, my friend, it could very well be that the "what" in verse number 6 has reference to the church. The church of the living God. While the word "he" in verse number 7 has reference to the Holy Spirit. And don't forget, it's the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer individually, and he indwells the church collectively in this day that we're living. Paul is telling us here in these two verses that it's the Holy Spirit and his power manifested through the church that is holding back the man of sin from being revealed. That's what he said. Let me say that again. He's saying here that it's the Holy Spirit and his power manifested through the church that is holding back the Antichrist from being revealed. Now, here in verse number 7, the Word of God says, until he, that is the restrainer, that is the Holy Spirit of God, until he be taken out of the way. Now, some people say, "Preacher, if the Holy Spirit is omnipresent," and he is omnipresent, that means that he is in all places at one time.
Right.
That's right. Psalm 139 tells us that. But some people say, "Preacher, if the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, then how is he going to be removed? How is he going to be removed?" Now listen to me closely. Listen to me closely. To understand what is going to happen at the time of the rapture in relation to the Spirit of God, one must understand the difference between the residence of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit.
Right. Hey, that's good.
And I might say this while I'm dealing with verse number 7 anyway. This verse is misquoted time and time and time again. A lot of people tell us that the Spirit of God is going to be taken out of the world. Verse number 7, look what it says. Verse number 7 says, until he be taken out of the way. It doesn't say until he be taken out of the world. It says, until he be taken out of the way. What's it talking about? It's talking about him being taken out of the way as the restrainer. And you must understand the difference between the residence of the Spirit and the presence of the Spirit.
Amen.
He said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, let me make that very clear. We know the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, as is recorded in Acts chapter number 2. We believe that. We know that. He came in a special way on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter number 2. But listen, my friend, if you go back and study the Scriptures prior to the day of Pentecost, as is found in Acts chapter number 2, if you study the Old Testament Scriptures, you will find the presence of the Holy Spirit in this world. You find the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world in the Old Testament Scriptures before the day of Pentecost.
Right.
The presence of the Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God came in a special way to make this world his residence.
Right.
his residence. And my friend, he came on the day of Pentecost to make this world his residence until the church is taken out of this world. And when the church is taken out of this world, his residence, this world, as far as this world will be in his residence is going to be removed from this world. But just because his residence is removed from this world does not mean that his presence will not be found in the world. You see, what takes place at the rapture is going to be kind of like a reversal of Pentecost. A reversal of Pentecost. You see, the Spirit of God operated in this world before he came on the day of Pentecost. And my friend, after the church is taken out of this world, the Holy Spirit is going to operate in this world like he did in the Old Testament Scriptures.
Right.
And in the Old Testament Scriptures, individuals were brought to the Lord.
Right.
And after the rapture of the church, individuals will still be brought to the Lord. Certainly that's so. Certainly that's so. I'd like to have each head bowed and each eye closed, please. I thank you for your careful attention. If the Lord allows, next time we meet, we'll deal further with verses 6 and 7 in Revelation 17.